Item 812.
Extend intergovernmental agreement with Home Forward through September 30, 2022, to continue to provide patrol services at the new Columbia housing sites.
Colleagues, Home Forward collaborates closely with the Office of Community and Civic Life, Income Property Management, and the Portland Police Bureau to provide community policing and patrol services to the new Columbia community through the new Columbia Community Policing Team. The community-based style of policing encourages citizen participation in crime reduction and focuses on greater coordination with other service providers to address crime-related problems in the community. Police officers are a vital component in the new Columbia Community Policing Team, ensuring that community safety needs are met by creating a frontline access to services and law enforcement. The Police Bureau has an IGA, an intergovernmental agreement, with Home Forward to provide patrol services at their new Columbia housing sites. In September, this agreement expires. The Portland Police have been providing patrol services under this agreement since 2012 and would like to extend the agreement to 2022. And we have Michael Bonacore is here, obviously, from Home Forward. Captain Passador is here from the Portland Police Bureau, and?
Elise Temple.
And Elise Temple, thank you. And I'm not sure who wants to start.
I'll go first, Mayor. Thank you.
Thanks, Captain.
And Commissioners, thank you very much for allowing us to come and talk with you today. I'm here to represent the Portland Police Bureau and ask for the extension of the new Columbia Community Intergovernmental Agreement with Home Forward. I'd also like to recognize that Officer Josh Silverman and Officer Joanna Ortiz are also in the gallery. They are also two other officers that are assigned to this program. I'm a captain with the Police Bureau, and I'm assigned to North Precinct, and that obviously is where the new Columbia is located. The new Columbia Policing Team is a collaborative effort between Home Forward, Portland Public Schools, Portland Police Bureau, the Office of Community and Civic Life, and Income Property Management. The team's focus is on building community relationships to effectively solve problems, increase public safety, and improve community livability. The Portland Police Bureau's primary focus in this program is not on law enforcement. Rather, their focus is on creative problem-solving, utilizing the programs, the partnerships, and the strong community relationships that they develop. When I first became the captain at North Precinct, I went around and I talked to officers assigned in different details to get a good understanding of what their day-to-day jobs are. And when I talked with members of this policing team, from the officer's perspective and what we do with police work, I was very surprised at some of the things that I heard. I was under the impression it would be more of a proactive type environment, but one of the proactive and police enforcement environment, but one of the quotes that I wrote down in that meeting by Officer Josh Silverman really summed it up the best when he said, "We have a very light touch with the community. We look at creative and positive ways to solve problems." And then they explained how they do that with the partners that they partner with. So how does the Portland Police partnership work without the primary focus being on enforcement? Every week, officers meet with members of Home Forward to discuss issues that may have occurred within the property of the new Columbia, including some of the calls for service. The purpose of these meetings is to ensure that the team is aware of issues that are occurring. This process allows Home Forward to develop plans to assist their residents. Examples of this assistance related to, for example, domestic violence type calls would be Home Forward being able to follow up with domestic violence survivors and possibly offering different types of assistance, such as changing locks to make the survivors feel more comfortable staying at their homes, as well as the Portland Police Bureau officers assigned having the time to respond to those locations and follow up with the survivors, talk to them about maybe the need for extra patrol so that those survivors feel safer staying placed in their homes and not feeling like they have to be displaced or move somewhere else. This team approach also helps to connect crime victims with advocates. It also helps to make referrals to Adult Protective Services, to LifeWorks, to other mental health providers, helps to connect with the office, the Mayor's Office of Youth Violence Prevention, and the Native American Youth and Family Center, as well as several other providers within our city. This type of approach also helps to organize mediation between neighbors that may have disputes that, if not dealt with in a proactive, productive way, could cause them potentially to be displaced or to lose their housing. This is the type of program that helps the Portland police build strong relationships within the community. It truly is. This truly is policing woven into the community. This team of officers consists of four officers. They're each selected by not only the Portland Police Bureau, but by Home Forward members in the process. They all possess certain skills that make them very strong candidates to provide this type of service in community policing. For example, each of the partnerships contains at least one ECIT, that's an Enhanced Crisis Intervention Team member, so that when they, if and when they deal with people suffering from mental health crisis, they're better qualified to assist in that manner. This program helps build long-term relationships established with crime victims. These officers don't go call to call. They have the ability to follow up with victims of crime and to build strong relationships, so they trust those relationships if they need help later. In the past, the New Columbia has been underserved by the Portland Police Bureau, and historically, issues have, at times, caused some community members to lose trust in the Portland Police Bureau. Through this program, Home Forward and our community partners have truly helped the Portland Police Bureau in rebuilding damaged relationships. And in the process, they have helped us increase police legitimacy within the New Columbia area specifically. This project is an excellent example of community policing. Our officers participate in community events, community meetings, leadership events. Some of those examples of that would be the POIC youth groups that occur monthly, the B-Town Kids program that goes out to McCoy Park every weekend in the summer, that's filled with community members, a positive environment for children that also has police officers that are present taking part in that and building those relationships with kids. They participate in family night events, penny carnivals, bingo nights, and several other type events within the area. As a result of this partnership, we are seeing downward crimes trends in the New Columbia area. The New Columbia Patrol area accounted for 15,340 calls for service between January 1st, 2012 and June 30th, 2019. The New Columbia has experienced a declining trend in NIBRS Group A offenses between 2015 and 2018. Those offenses are offenses such as arson, burglary, break-ins, vandalism, destruction of property, and narcotics-related offenses. There has been a decline in crime within the boundaries of the New Columbia Patrol area as compared to some of the other areas within the city. An example would be total calls for service within the New Columbia area. That's one of the ways we as a police organization measure crime within an area that's seen from the citizens. It's not police officers seeing something and saying there's a problem interacting. It's citizens saying we see something and we need help from the police. And since the height in 2015 of the last 6 years or 6.5 years, which was 2015 calls of service, it has steadily decreased to where last year there was 953 calls for service. That is not because of lack of trust in police. The relationships that are built out there with our police department are stronger than they've ever been right now. That is because of the effectiveness of this program in showing a downward crime trend. Comparisons of a total of Group A offenses by year within other parts of the city. If you look in the New Columbia area at the top, the crime trends, for the most part, have remained flat. Same thing with the nearby areas that surround that area. The crime trends have remained fairly flat. That's a positive influence outside the surrounding area with the neighbors and youth that live in that area as well. Unfortunately, we do see a slight increase when we look citywide and we look precinct-wide. That's not the case in the New Columbia area. Priority level calls are one of the main responsibilities for the officers assigned to the assignments in this partnership. 53% of the calls they respond to are high priority, 30% are low priority. But if you look at the dispatch calls, they spend more time on self-initiated directed patrols. Those would be contacting people at programs, at events, than they do responding to calls. And that's what we want to see within a geographical area. This week, I took the time to take police officers in this detail to council members' offices and talk with some council members and their staff. Those of you that had time on your calendars, we truly appreciate it. And that was to answer questions and hopefully some hard questions. And in that time, specifically with a meeting with Commissioner Hardesty, she brought up a very, very valid point, and that is, why do you keep coming and asking us to extend a program, extend a contract? Why don't you reevaluate it and come to us and tell us what it's reevaluated like? Does it need to be adjusted? Does it need to be changed? Maybe it's for the better. Maybe there's things we're missing we could do better. That's an extremely valid point. When I went back to our the police bureau and talked with the administrators of this program, I talked about putting a time constraint on it where it would trigger a response for us to have to have that meeting to sit down and discuss, is it working? What I found out during that meeting is that under this agreement, if it's extended, agreements can only be extended for 10 years of this type. This would take it to its 10-year mark. That would make it to where we have to have the sit-down, the evaluation. We certainly would bring community input in on that. And my recommendation going further would be that in the next agreement, we put those benchmark requirements in where we sit down and we analyze the program, how it can be improved, how it's working, how it's not, and with community involvement. This is a program that works. This is a program that I, as the captain of North Precinct, am trying to replicate in other areas of the city with high crime volumes. I hope that this helps you to see how it has been a benefit for the community, for the Portland Police Bureau, and we thank you for your time. I'm going to pass the mic over, but I'd also like you to know that Officer Temple is here at the end in case you have more questions that are personally related to the activities that the officers do. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Was there anything you wanted to say?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners, thank you for having me today. I'm Michael Bonacore. I'm the Executive Director of Home Forward. I want to start by saying that I stepped outside and connected with Jamie and Commissioner Udaly's office, so we'll make sure that we follow up on the Section 8 question that was raised during testimony. And what I want to tell you today is that I started to work at Home Forward in 2001, so I spent a great deal of my early years at Home Forward in Columbia Villa and saw the redevelopment of the property. And one of the things that we experienced in the early years is the reality that if you build a nice place and you put 10,000 people in it, no matter what you do, it takes time for relationships to form. And those early years were a little turbulent, including just sort of community safety and law enforcement, and we did not have the foresight to put this model of community policing in place in those first years. I've had a chance to sort of see what it looks like without this model and with it, and I would just reiterate everything that Officer Passador said. Relationships make all the difference, and once we started engaging in this model and I got to know some of the first officers who were assigned to it, I got to hear their own reflections on what it meant to have the time to build relationships with people and also just how much history carried forward on the force from the days of Columbia Villa. And, there's a lot of real and misperceptions about what that community was and is. It takes people really having connections to understand that and change narratives about what a community like New Columbia is perceived as. My only other experience with a model like this was a few years ago. There was a sort of a walking patrol in downtown Portland and Hawthorne. And I did a walk along, and it was really amazing to see the officers have to know the names of everyone they interacted with, that the folks on the street knew the officers' names, and the interactions that I observed were really touching, the amount of trust that was there. And I hope you will not only renew this, but I just want to voice my support that sort of relationship-based community policing, I think, can be really powerful and transformative for our community and our country. So I just wanted to offer that little plug of support, and I hope you will renew the agreement.
Great, thank you. Officer, anything else you wanted to add?
I really feel like this experience being a part of the detail has changed my perspective on policing, and I think it's like the only position I really want in the Bureau right now, because I love doing the follow-up. I love getting the extra time to adjust my schedule. If there's a community event that starts early, even though my shift is typically 2 to midnight, I can go in and I can join in, and I just it's helped me in experiences where I've already known people that I've met at events or like on our school visits. It's helped, I think, just it has helped them feel comfortable reporting things to me at times, and I think it's just a great agreement, and I hope it continues forever.
Great. Thanks, Officer Temple. Appreciate it. Commissioner Hardesty?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you so much. It's always a good thing when you have a conversation and you see it reflected in what comes back to the City Council. So thank you for going back and having that conversation. Michael, you said you've been at New Columbia since 2001.
Well, I worked at Home Forward starting in 2001 when it was Columbia Villa.
Mm-hmm. And so when I had the visit at my office, the context that I had the conversation was around an experience that happened in 2014, mm-hmm. where I thought it was a 12-year-old girl, but then I just was reminded it was a 9-year-old girl that was arrested. And so what I see is younger officers engaging and interacting in New Columbia. So my concern was that, again, that we had these uneven policies about how policing would take place, but I am impressed with the officers that I met with. I believe the program, I'm appreciative that this is the last extension and that next time we will have an evaluation of what's really taking place. And I personally would like to have some demographic data around arrest and outcomes of interactions and engagements, especially with young people in New Columbia. It feels really hard for me sometimes to say really great things about the police, right? Because I certainly come to this experience as an activist and advocate, but when you do good things, I want to also applaud the good things that you do. And so just know I judge your activity based on both history and then the opportunities that we've had to change outcomes in the work that you do. So thank you for what you do. It feels weird.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you very much for bringing this report. Captain Passmore, I would encourage you not to wait till the end of the next contract, that although we can direct you to do the next contract, I would suggest an annual discussion of and documentation of what's going well, what can be improved, because that way you'll have your report written by the next time you come back here. Thank you. I just wanted to mention that one of my senior policy advisors, Cynthia Castro, was the director at Charles Jordan Community Center before she came to work with me, and she noted that the officers regularly come in to the community center for community events, for instance, the Charles Jordan Community Center Spring Break Dodgeball Tournament, which sounds like an epic event, and that she was asked while she was in the director position, does this kind of collaboration happen in any other parts of the city? Are there other similar community policing efforts in other parts of the city?
Ma'am, we certainly strive for that. Unfortunately, due to some of the constraints with call loads and staffing, and I'm not here to try to advocate for staffing, but this creates a unique opportunity where there's some extra funding that brings those officers in and focuses in that area. We are working on programs in North Precinct, specifically the Lloyd Center Community Safety Plan that's occurring now. Great. That are modeled in part after this, and we're going to try to see if we can model them further after it. This is a very successful way of policing areas, because it's not policing with the sense of the police first. It's the community watching out for the community first and the police being of assistance. So that's our goal. Some constraints keep us from being able to do that everywhere, but we definitely want to move that direction.
Captain, I think you just did make the case for more resources, and particularly of people. We have 100 unfilled positions that are funded. So I think, Officer Temple, you also have just demonstrated to anybody who might be watching that policing is changing in Portland, and that there are deeply satisfying areas that people can work in as officers, which aren't necessarily the traditional way of doing the work that you do. So I hope that people will sign up to do that and join the effort. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have a couple clarifying questions. It looked like on the charts that crime is not particularly high in New Columbia relative to the rest of the city. Is that correct?
That's correct. The main thing that we're seeing is that it's stayed consistent,
yeah,
where in the city there's a slight increase, but crime within that area is lower.
Okay. So the 15,000 plus calls over a period of 6 years wouldn't be extraordinary for a community of that size? I mean, it sounds like a lot to me, but...
Yeah, no. And for example, in the Lloyd District, where we're running our program, within a year period, there were over 2,000 calls just for disturbances, or 1,000 calls just for disturbances, 2,000 some calls, which is a much smaller geographical
right.
area that doesn't have the same type of housing environment. So
yeah.
It's really not that large of a call volume. It's certainly higher than we'd like to see.
Okay. It did appear that you're getting a lot of phone calls for non-emergency issues or issues that maybe shouldn't require the police. Is that a fair characterization?
Well, the police get phone calls from the dispatch center
mm-hmm.
that are asking for people to respond. The majority of the connections that we're having with the community are just in general interactions because they're out there. When people have a concern, a lot of times there is an apprehensiveness to call 911, thinking maybe they're being a burden. They know the system is overwhelmed. Those are not excuses that we want to have. We want people to believe the system will work for them and that we are going to come. Unfortunately, we may be delayed to a certain extent. But in this geographical area, the officers are there 7 days a week.
Yeah.
They're having those interactions. So those are the type of interactions we're talking about.
And then who provides mediation services? I'm really intrigued by that. I'm a fan of mediation and... wondering how you administer
I know that
it.
They will, they use the services, I don't know, sorry, who provides it, but they contract out to
outside
people,
vendor.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. But we also just have, not official mediation, but just groups, meetings together where, like, if two neighbors are having a dispute, we'll invite them in and say, hey, are you willing to come in the office, have a talk with one of the managers, and have a talk with an officer there, and we'll try to figure it out there together before it's, like, the formal mediation.
The wheels are starting to turn in my head because in civic life, we're really reorienting crime prevention more towards community health and more towards equipping community members to deal with some of their own challenges instead of involving law enforcement. So I'm interested in the potential to collaborate there because it sounds like it's what you're doing is working. It sounds like the type of policing that we would like to see more of throughout the whole city. And it also sounds like there's some opportunities to work with community, whether it's conflict resolution, skills, mediation, that I'm interested in. So thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fish.
So I want to thank you for your presentation. Michael, I was reflecting when I listened to the presentation this morning that I've been involved one way or another over the last 20 years in helping to revitalize what used to be called Columbia Villa and now is the New Columbia. I think it's worth noting that there was a time when the Federal Housing Department actually gave grants to help communities revitalize old public housing stock. The difference between Portland and some other cities was a lot of the aging and unacceptable housing in big cities tended to be vertical.
Mm-hmm.
This was more of a suburban development and had its own challenges, but without the help of the federal government, we would not have been able to revitalize the New Columbia. And then, as pleased as I am with the report about how community policing is working, I want to acknowledge that for that community to be successful, it takes a lot of partners. The police are a piece of it. Tamala Newsom at Rosa Parks Elementary School is a big piece of it, and Tamala is retiring this year after a distinguished career, but she's earned our thanks. The Village Market, which is a grocery store that is partly subsidized by the county and the city and that violates all the rules of grocery stores. It doesn't sell tobacco, alcohol, or lottery tickets. So it actually needs a public subsidy to survive because it doesn't sell people things they don't need. I'm reflecting on the community garden and the ball field that has come in and some of the commercial space, McCoy Field, McCoy Park, actually. Michael, I think at one point, it may be still true today, it's the most diverse census tract in the state. It was once upon a time. Whether it's now Cully competes for that mantle, I don't know, but it is among the most diverse census tracts in the state of Oregon. When you invest in nonprofits and in small businesses and in high-performing schools, when you invest in a community center, and we renamed the community center in honor of Charles Jordan, I invite all my colleagues this Saturday, we'll be honoring Charles Jordan from 12 to 3 in an event that Deion Jordan and Michelle Harper have organized. And when all these pieces are working together, we build community. And I think that's what we're getting a sense of progress. It's taken time, but it is ultimately the goal is to knit together community so people feel safe and comfortable in their own neighborhood. So thank you for your presentation.
Very good. One last comment. I just want to say, I want to add to the accolades here. I appreciate the hard work. And I just want to acknowledge what some of my colleagues have already pointed out. This is the difference between resourced policing that has the opportunity to be proactive and engaged on the front end, and reactive policing, where you go from 911 call to 911 call, where you don't have that opportunity to build those relationships. And as Commissioner Fish just said, it's also about building community partnerships. But somebody has to facilitate the development of those partnerships. And here we have the time and the resources to be able to do it right. And so I want to acknowledge what my colleague said earlier, that this is the way we should be doing policing all across the city. And that's certainly the vision of community policing. But here's a good incubator, a good example of how we do it right. I appreciate your being here. I appreciate the presentation that you gave as well. It's well done. Thank you.
Can I ask Thank you, Mayor. How long have you been a police officer, a Portland police officer?
8 years.
8 years. And are you local?
Actually, in the 8 years, I moved around, but I grew up in Seattle. And then since living in Portland, I've lived in Portland and all the suburbs.
And what brought you to Portland?
I went to college at Portland State, and then I moved back to Seattle. I actually was going to be a lawyer. I was going to law school at UW, and I decided I'd rather be a police officer. And my time and my experiences were with the Portland Police, so I moved back to specifically work for the Portland Police.
And last question. I'm sorry to be putting you on the spot,
but
you're probably the youngest police officer that's ever sat in front of me, so I've got questions. my last question is, why did you decide that you wanted to be a Portland police officer?
So, like I said, it wasn't originally my plan, and I started going on ride-alongs, and I liked that I felt like you were directly working with people, directly having the ability to help people, and it was always changing. You know, there was the element of excitement, too. I did like driving fast, but I really wanted to be able to go out and be a compassionate, caring person who can listen, and I obviously always had a knowledge of like the historical issues with police too, and I wanted to be someone that could be trusting and understanding of situations. And
thank you. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but
okay.
Inquiry minds. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll now take public testimony. You guys can cool your heels if you'd like.
Thank you.
How many people do we have signed up, Carla?
We have 5 people.
Very good.
Okay, the first three please come on up are Joe Walsh, Maggie, and Lightning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We oppose this strictly on the lack of community input. At least the paperwork that comes off the computer is basically saying the cops go to events and they go to parties and they talk to people during those events and parties and get together. That's not good enough. You need people to sit down and say, you know what you should be doing, blah, 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 and you accept it or reject it. you don't need people at a party saying, pass me the popcorn, and by the way, how do you like this program? That's not professional. And what we saw here today is the police department giving you a report, and you believing it. We don't believe the police department. We think they lie. And we don't believe this council. We think you're corrupt.
Whoa.
With the mayor under a RICO investigation, that's corrupt. That's bad. With people paying $1,000 for a hotel room, that's corrupt. We don't trust you anymore. We used to. We really did when I first came here. We at least trusted you.
I missed that period.
But we had a different mayor then. We had Mayor Pahana, who was kind of cool, if I remember correctly. He used to ask, hey, how are the children doing? And I always thought that was interesting. Our mayor? RICO. RICO. Do you know what RICO is? It's racketeering. They use it for the mafia. RICO. We're against this. We know you're going to vote for it, but we want to go on record. We're against it strictly because you have no input from the citizens, and you guys are phony and corrupt. Outside of that.
Good morning. And just for the record, I'm not under a RICO investigation, in case anybody's wondering. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning. I would like to give you that citizen input that Joe Walsh was just talking about, and that is at 9:40 a.m. this morning at Southeast Milwaukee. I went and reported what somebody told me because they would not go to the cops, which is at 3 a.m., and I don't know if it was on a Monday or a Tuesday, a man was walking back from Coco Donuts towards, walking east, and a white 2000 Ford was driving east, did a U-turn, came back. Within 20 feet of him, a Caucasian man got out of a car and pointed a gun at him. He turned around and he ran and he heard a shot out of the gun.
Is this at New Columbia?
I'm talking about the cop that I walked up and told this to was very, very rude to me. He was Caucasian, by the way. And extremely rude. He was like, what does this have to do with me? That is literally what he said to me.
So, Maggie, this is about something else.
Why not have the participants of this program, rather than the police, come up and give you testimony about how the cops are doing? The cops should not be giving you testimony of how the cops are doing. The participants in the program should be coming up to you and saying, yeah, things were bad for years and now they're getting better, not the cops.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity Connectome. On this issue here is that, and I'm not going to necessarily talk negative about the police on what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say this. The police serve a purpose, but when they become intertwined within a property and a large number of people, and they call it community policing, my first question is, I assume they're going to be carrying guns. I don't like that in the villa. I want to have more private security without the guns at a lower price. More relationship with Home Forward. the police need to keep more of a separation, because as you know, how many other properties have this taking place? Well, they answered, we'd like to expand, but really we don't know any. I don't think it's appropriate. And my question to you, if I'm in Columbia Villa and I'm just on the edge of the property and my car just got broke into or something, and I say, hey, can you help me over here? Who do they have to answer to? Are they actually supposed to answer to IPM, to Home Forward? Who is their agreement with now? And I want a complete separation. And as you know, I fought against any Portland police being hired by Target and having to listen to them in the property. Because once you have a conflict, if you're a tenant in the property with the Portland police, such as this gentleman that sat before us this morning expressed, where is the mediation then? If that Portland police took the report and then points at you and someone sitting over there, what happens? We need to look at the eviction process. We need to look at the mediation process. We need to hear the people that have been evicted. What do you think about this program? Why didn't it work for you? And I'd like to look at those names and those people and see exactly what the problem was. So I know you're going to approve this, but I'm just saying shorten the approval time. Make sure you have a renewal possibility option, and do more research on this. This is so serious. If you were in this property and you had to say, boy, I had problems 10 years ago with the Portland police, and by the way, this person knows me. I'm not going to last in this apartment building. And I shouldn't have to worry about that. If there's always two sides to the story, as this gentleman sat up here and stated. Until you hear that other side of the story, it may not mean anything. And that's what we need to look at. And by the way, Mayor, you are under investigation by Lightning pertaining to the RICO Act. Have a wonderful day.
The last two who signed up are Steve Entwistle and Dan Handelman.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank
good.
You.
Good.
Good morning. Good morning, Council. My name is Stephen Entwistle, and this has been an interesting morning. I agree with Joe Walsh on the fact that we don't have enough public input on all these issues. I think that can be disastrous, because, and the fact Maggie said that the people here that were in the building, the tenants, aren't here to comment. That's a valid note as well. And with Lightning, the fact that they're having weapons in these facilities is rather disturbing, especially due to a lot of the histories that folks have. And I think that it could be put together better. I think better minds can see, and there's other folks that have not gotten involved that maybe should have a voice as an opinion, at least to listen to. And I think that we're living in a time that is not natural. Our economics is all skewed, and good people are not making it the way they should be, and it's not their fault. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I'm Dan Handelman, Portland Cop Watch. I was not planning to testify on this agenda item, but after hearing the discussion, I just wanted to add a few things. I appreciated a lot of the things that Lightning said before. One of the things that you always have to think about is the power dynamics of having armed officers. Everybody in this room got treated like a criminal suspect on the way into this building, except the police officers were sitting at this table with guns on their hips telling you about how they're part of the community. Most people I know don't wear guns on their hips. So I find that very disturbing that they're being used for mediations, playing dodgeball games with children while they're wearing guns on their hips. We have this new public safety support specialist who are supposed to be unarmed officers. Maybe, especially because you're thinking about a 10-year extension of this contract, instead you should think about having those public safety support specialists be part of this team instead of the armed officers.
It's not a 10-year extension. It is an extension that does not exceed 10 years cumulatively with all of the extensions. We're not extending it 10 years. This extension bumps up against 10 years.
Okay. So you're saying that for starting from 2012, so it goes until 2022?
Correct.
Okay, so 3 years is a long time when you have this program available to you.
Pointing out it's not a 10-year extension.
I understand. So, a question to ask about these relationships with the police is always what happens if there's an officer-involved shooting. So they build this great relationship with the community, and then something happens, and the trust just goes away. So that's another reason why you should think about some other form of community interaction to help with mediation and problem-solving instead of armed police officers, because that's ultimately... The ultimate power of Portland Police is to take lives with guns, and that's why one of the reasons Portland Cop Watch exists, because we're very concerned about that and the way that the our society allows the police to do that. We also have testified many times in the past, and this is something else Lightning touched on, about people who have extra money being able to hire Portland Police officers to do policing in their communities. Normally, this is a problem in higher-end communities, like we're talking about the Downtown Business Association that pays for 4 police officers, and this new idea about Lloyd District. But this is a lower-income community, and I'm not exactly sure. I mean, it sounds like federal funding is paying for this. But it's still unequal treatment. It's still, I mean, you've all expressed how, boy, this would be great if everybody had it. Well, yeah, that's the way police are supposed to work. We all collectively pay our taxes, and everybody gets the same kind of policing services. So even that is another troubling aspect of this, and I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you.
And just for me.
Please.
According to the financial impact statement, it's funded through an ongoing appropriation in the Police Bureau budget.
Mayor. So we're not voting on this?
No, it's a first reading.
I would just like to say I agree with a couple other commenters, a couple members of the public, that I would have liked to hear from members of the community about their experience with this program. It sounds like a wonderful program, and it helps to have a recommendation of from Home Forward, but there's just nothing like hearing from directly from the people who are involved and impacted. So I am likely to support this as an extension, but when we come back to talk about renewing it or evaluating it, as Commissioner Hardesty has suggested, I really want to hear from a significant community. Yeah.
Mayor, if I might.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I know we're not voting on this today, but because of some of the public testimony, I just want to put on the record, I just want to correct some things for the public record. First, the police are not doing the mediation. They're contracting out for mediation services.
That's what they said.
Right?
Yeah, that's what they said, though. Yeah.
But public testimony and that the police were, in fact, the ones that were mediating. Mm. I have actually a long history with Columbia Villa / New Columbia. In fact, when we first got awarded the Hope 6 grant, I was very concerned that low-income people would be totally displaced once the new pretty environment was created, as has happened pretty much in every community across the country when these federal dollars came in. I was also concerned about making sure that mixed income people could cohabitate in a community. and that the community would be better off for the new investments that had been made. I recently went and toured the community garden and talked to a whole host of community members. I think there's like 50 different languages that are spoken at New Columbia today, and it was really wonderful to talk to people about how community is building community in New Columbia. I also wanted to make sure that we, I'm appalled by the suggestion of private security. We have no oversight of private security in the city of Portland today, and sometimes private security has weapons, sometimes they don't, and their practices are not uniform across the industry. So I would be very concerned about people that I could not hold accountable. Is Columbia Villa the community policing program the best thing since sliced bread? No. Are there room for improvement? Absolutely. I would love to see bicycle police officers or the unarmed police officers be the ones that were building community at New Columbia, and maybe we will get to that process. But where we are today, this program is working, and it's working in a way that we are reducing arrests, we are reducing community members' interactions with police, and all of us want the police to be less involved in community members' life, except in a positive way. And everything I have seen, and based on the conversation that I had both with the officers involved and community members, this is good at the moment. I want to dispel the myth that we can't do this in other communities because we don't have enough money or resources, because we could do this in other communities if we were as thoughtful as we were when New Columbia was being created. We could do this, and we could do it with officers that we have as we start redirecting 911 calls to other systems so that police are doing what police are supposed to do and other community responders are doing what they're supposed to do. So apologize for the long-winded response because I'm old and I forget it by next week when we voted on it, so I wanted to make sure it was part of the public record. Thank you.
Very good. And before I move this on, is there anything the panel felt like they needed to respond to on this? I don't see that. Very good. This is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you, everyone.